writer. I know these scientific reports can put us in a pretty dark frame of mind, but there are avenues for hope, or dare I say optimism, in our future. Because, as we've been hearing, if we're going to take urgent action on climate change, and there's no room to be complacent, it's about that clean technology. And there is a space race of clean technology. It's happening across the world right now. It's having some really promising results. Tim Buckley is an energy finance analyst and with you now this morning. Hi, Tim.
Yes.
Tell us the good news, please, after reading that report this morning.
Good morning. Yes, the science is very clear. We have to act. That's absolutely stark clear to everyone. But as you say, there is some really positive momentum building. It is a bit of an investment and technology space race that's been emerging, really catalyzed by President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act in America late last year. That is upwards of $800 billion of carrots of subsidies to encourage clean energy manufacturing supply chains and the accelerated rollout of all things to do with decarbonisation in America. And then last Friday, we saw the European government, the EU, respond by introducing the Net Zero Industries Act, saying if we can't beat America, if we can't stop them doing it, we better do it as well. So they've doubled down on their efforts to build out supply chains, diversify global supply chains, encourage onshore investment at speed in Europe, and accelerating deployment of all things decarbonisation. Now, a lot of that momentum comes from Putin's invasion into Ukraine. That's really highlighted global supply chain security issues. And we've got a bit of a technology race. I was just reading last week, Korea is investing now $30 billion in building out battery supply chains. Korea, along with China, dominate the world's EV battery manufacturing technologies, and they're committing $30 billion to build up their own domestic industry. And I mentioned that because Korea is one of Australia's top three trade partners, and POSCO, the biggest company in Korea in this area, announced last December they were going to invest $40 billion in Australia, investing in Australian supply chains to build out things like critical minerals that you just mentioned.
Uh-huh. So, Tim, what does that mean in terms of all that investment and all that money going around? How will that drive things faster? Because we need to kind of really keep up the pace and get a critical forward momentum on this.
That's correct. What we have seen is a decade of underinvestment relative to what the science has been telling us. But now when the American government under President Biden drops $800 billion, US, real dollars, on the table, that's stimulating investment like never before. And there's nothing like a global space race, a global technology race, to encourage learning by doing and new technology development. Here in Australia, we are in the box seat, and I do think it helps change the narrative dramatically, because we are one of the three largest fossil fuel exporters in the world. Traditionally, we've been very reliant on fossil fuels, but now everyone's coming to Australia and going, well, we don't want to be reliant solely on China for supply of all of the raw materials and refining needed for these products. Why doesn't Australia step up? And that's where, like, Australia produced 50% of the world's lithium last year. Now, lithium demand is expected to double and then double again this decade. And Australia is the number one player by country mile. We can refine lithium. We can do value adding onshore, use our massive renewable energies, and that will just accelerate everything. So Australia is going to be in the box seat as, in my view, a critical minerals superpower alongside a renewable energy superpower.
Tim Buckley is with us, energy finance analyst and director of the Climate Energy Finance. Yes, Richard Glover was talking about lithium yesterday on Drive. What about in terms of, I suppose, the technology, the brains, the new technology that we haven't even developed yet? Will this be enough to kickstart that and offer opportunities in New South Wales and Australia?
Yes, new technology is going to play a key role. We are looking at a massive deployment of technologies that have been commercialised, but the reality is, as the science shows, there's a climate crisis. We do need new technologies and deployment at massive scale of existing ones. I had the pleasure of going down to Seaforest down in Tasmania last week. They are developing seaweed, commercial grade seaweed for feeding of cattle and ruminant animals in Australia. And that potentially has the capacity to reduce methane emissions from cows by up to 98%.
Really? So what they don't...
Yeah.
They don't fart as much methane if they're on seaweed.
Yeah, I think the polite word is burping.
Burping. Yeah.
I'm joking. Yeah, both of them. The whole rumination, I'm not a vet, I'm a finance analyst, but it's all about the methane in their stomachs. They've got four stomachs and they create a whole lot of methane. Feed them literally 1-2% seaweed into their diet, and you can reduce the methane by 80-98%. Now, it's a technology that's not been proven, and as the CEO of Seaforest made very clear, if there is no price signal, why would farmers invest in that? That's why Chris Bowen's safeguard mechanism is critically important. The ACCU integrity is critically important. We need a price on carbon. There are technologies that can solve this climate crisis. We need to deploy them at massive scale and massive speed.
Right. You mentioned the price on carbon. It's in the Productivity Commission report kind of suggested that, but that's politically pretty difficult in this country after all the climate wars we've had.
It has been politically difficult, but I think the world has moved on. Fortunately, our government's moved on. We've got a new government that accepts and wants to act on the climate change. I think the community is reading reports like the science report from overnight. They're realising they know there is a climate emergency. They know it's only going to get worse. They know the cost to Australia, to the world, is going to be increasing from extreme weather events. So we need to solve for it. So I think the safeguard mechanism really shows that you can get a price. It's effectively a price on carbon for heavy industry. Even a Republican last week came, a Republican senator in America came out and said, we want a carbon border adjustment mechanism. We don't want to import a whole lot of really high emissions Chinese product. Now, that's music to my ears. The Republicans have made the LNP
secretly
look good.
Well, I love your reasons to be cheerful this morning after that very sobering report coming out and where the opportunities lie. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
There's Tim Buckley, the Energy Finance Analyst and Director of Climate Energy Finance.